This has been good. It's been fun. It's fun talking about God's word. And as is often the case, whenever I talk about God's word, or someone talks about God's word to me, I find myself hungry for God's word. And so I'm going to go and eat the sandwich that I made this morning, and I will also read the word that God has prepared long ago for me.
The Bible. It's a book like no other. It is ancient. It is diverse in the types of literature that it contains. It has been translated into more languages than any other book, by far. It is, by far, the best-selling book in all of human history. It is so meaningful to some of its readers that they have risked and even laid down their own lives to get it into the hands of others. It is the most loved and most despised collection of words in existence. What is it about the Bible that sets it apart from every other book? As stewards, it is essential that we take the Bible seriously. That is why I am devoting at least a few episodes of the Stewardship Podcast to the topic of the Bible. Welcome to the Stewardship Podcast. I'm your host, Danny Nelson. Today, I'm going to share with you a conversation I had with Nathan Turner about two very fundamental Bible topics. The first is, what is the Bible? The second, how did we get the Bible in its current form? I reached out to Nathan because I've spent countless hours with him over the last 17 years discussing the Bible, and I know him to be an authority on the topic. He earned his undergraduate degree in Biblical Studies from Southern Wesleyan University and his Master of Divinity from Erskine Seminary. He serves as a ruling elder at Christ Church in Anderson, South Carolina, which is a part of the Evangelical Presbyterian Church. Nathan teaches Sunday school, and the format of his classes is to go through books of the Bible one at a time. He has taken his class through the books of Daniel and Revelation, and is now taking them through the Gospel of John. Nathan is the director of the Erskine Seminary online program, where he considers it very good to be surrounded by people who have devoted themselves to the study of the Bible. Let's jump in and hear what Nathan had to say when I asked him, what is the Bible?
The Bible comes from a word which means book, which is why you see on a Bible says Holy Bible. It's a holy book. The Bible, the Holy Bible, we talk about the Old and New Testaments, is the Word of God. What we see in the Word is it says that the Scriptures are breathed out by God. These are words that God has breathed out for us to be recorded. That does not mean that the authors of the book, the human authors, entered into some ecstatic trance and then began, you know, just writing down what God dictated. This is the words God breathed out, used. He has used man to do so, and so that's what it is. But that ultimately brings out the question of what's it for. So if these are the words of God breathed out through the use of human authors, then one, that necessitates some sort of relationship between God and man, that he has endeavored to do this for man. And so the Word of God, the Bible, is given to us to reveal to us God and who he is and our relationship to him. And so in the stories of Scripture, that's what we receive. We receive knowledge of God and how we relate to him. And the bad news, of course, in that is after you get just a couple chapters in, we realize that we've kind of bungled this whole thing. And so our relationship with God is at enmity. We have transgressed what he has required, going back to Adam, the first man. And so that leaves us in a state of needing to have that relationship with God repaired. And so the Bible also walks us through how that is accomplished, how that relationship between God and man is repaired and restored, and ultimately where that is heading. So the Word of God reveals to us who is God and who are we and how do we relate, and how can that relationship be repaired? And once repaired, what does that mean now? And so it answers those questions for us. And it is not just bare words. Scripture tells of the use of his word in many ways, and one of which is that it gives life to our souls, which we can talk about. So it's not just something to study. It is something that is life-giving, a means of grace.
So it's easy now to see why the Bible is such a big deal. It's the very word of God for his people, and it's a life-giving means of grace. Now that we know what the Bible is, let's hear what Nathan has to say about how we got the Bible in its current form.
The Bible is written down by human authors through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. That's not just an inspiration like I'm inspired to do something, like a musician is inspired to write a new piece of music or something like that. God has breathed this out. But the way that we have the Bible in its current form is that the books were written, some written over a time period. Not just written down in a weekend or a month or a year by one author, but there was a process that went through this. And you can see this in some places, notably the Book of Psalms, where there is some editorial process that has been done. And for believers in Jesus, and for those who hold high the position of Scripture, and that it has been God-breathed, we see that editorial process was also God-given to produce it in the form that we have it now. So each book was written with human authors, with God standing behind it, and an editorial process going along, the Holy Spirit guided to reach its state that we have it now. And then the groups of the scriptures, groups of the books to form the canon, C-A-N-O-N, not C-A-N-N-O-N, the thing you shoot things out of, the canon of Scripture, was formed. The Old Testament books were the Pentateuch, as we call it, Penta meaning five. The Pentateuch was traditionally is understood as being written by Moses, notwithstanding editorial processes, written by Moses. And so that has always been at the backbone of the faith. So throughout time after that, more books had been written as more events had happened. In David's day, they had the Pentateuch. They didn't have the book of 1 and 2 Samuel because it was happening then. And so all of these books are written down, and they've become codified, and they were understood in practice by God's people to be Scripture. And so God's people had recognized these books as Scripture. And so that became a recognition by practice. They understood this as such, notably the books of the prophets, the major prophets and the minor prophets. And so it was held to that as Scripture. And then you have the New Testament that comes along. And the New Testament was written over a period of 50 years or so, give or take. With the New Testament, we can clearly see how things were understood to be part of Scripture, to be numbered among the canon. One of the ways in which that you saw how the early church understood the Gospel of Matthew to be Scripture is that they were willing to die for it. As persecution came, the church would protect the Scriptures because persecution would come and they would attempt to burn the holy book of this sect that they wanted to destroy. And so they would protect these scriptures with their lives. And so you would have other books that were written that were seen as profitable, but not Scripture. And they said, okay, yeah, you can take this book because that's not Scripture, but I will die for the Gospel of Matthew to preserve that for others. And ultimately, after persecution ended, then there was able to have church councils in the 4th century AD, and they were able to come together and say, okay, these are the books that we have. We have copies of these. We've made our scribes have made copies of these. This is what we have, and there are some in here who are saying that these are not Scripture, so we need to settle this now and come to an agreement by God's grace to do so. And so they did. And by the 4th century, that was settled onto the canon that we have now, the 66 books of the Old Testament and 27 books of the New Testament.
What I love most about the topic of how the Bible arrived in its current form is that we didn't and don't ultimately depend on imperfect human beings to manage the process. Rather, God Himself is the author and preserver of His Word. He delights in involving His people, His image bearers, in the process, but He doesn't leave it up to them to get it right. Instead, He practices the mystery of divine providence as He guides His church to arrive exactly where He wants. We'll hear more from Nathan in a future episode, and he's agreed to take questions from the Stewardship Podcast audience. So, if you have a question for Nathan, please send an email to ask@thestewardshippodcast.com. When we love Jesus, it's all about stewardship. All of our resources and relationships are subject to our Christian worldview. Because we have been bought with a price, we have the joy of stewarding everything we have to the glory of God, and because we love God. One of the more difficult and frustrating aspects of stewardship for American Christians is our relationship with the U.S. tax code and how it affects our particular situation and tax returns. I don't think it should be that way. So I help Christians navigate this responsibility through my work as a tax accountant. I am happy to announce that I am currently accepting new tax clients for the 2021 tax year. So if you want a tax accountant that approaches the handling of your tax situation and tax return as an expression of love for Jesus, then visit taxstewardship.com now and click Schedule a Conversation. Again, that website is taxstewardship.com and click Schedule a Conversation. Thank you for listening to the Stewardship Podcast, where it's all about stewardship.
This has been good. It's been fun. It's fun talking about God's word. And as is often the case, whenever I talk about God's word or someone talks about God's word to me, I find myself hungry for God's word. And so I'm going to go and eat the sandwich that I made this morning. And I will also read the word that God has prepared long ago for me.